Now, we saw that in Galatians 1, chapters or verses 11 and 12, Paul says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul claimed that the message he preached was nothing less than that which he received by the revelation, a series, really, of revelations of Jesus Christ to him. Now he certifies this and begins to prove it point by point. We've already seen from verse 13 how he says, you know, everybody knew it. This was widely known. It was the topic of the day. You know how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and laid it waste. How then could he have gotten his message from the leaders of the church? Verse 14, he said, I prospered in the Jews' religion above many mine equals. Have you ever seen a man who really was going places in his present profession choose another that was to bring only heartache and trouble and persecution and sorrow and death? No, indeed. People who are going places want to keep going. And he says, I prospered in the Jews' religion. Why would I have quit that to become a follower of the rejected Christ? The next argument, verse 14, he says, I prospered not because I was zealous of the word of God and was such a good preacher or teacher of the Bible. No, I prospered because I was more zealous of the traditions of my fathers than they. He was more exceedingly zealous not of the word of God, but of human religious tradition. How zealous people are of their traditions today. And yet God said concerning these very traditions, he said concerning those who made so much of them, by your traditions you have made void the word of God. So Paul was he was not scriptural, he was orthodox. Have you ever asked yourself? I would like to ask you, which would you rather be, orthodox or scriptural? Would you rather just go by the traditions of your religious fathers, or would you like to go by what God says in his word? Now then, Paul was very zealous of the traditions of his fathers. He was not about to give them up for faith in Christ as the Messiah. Then in verse 16 he said, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, that is, when I was converted, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. That's a strong way of saying I did not confer with mere human beings. Now, as I said last week, that's what I would do. I would seek the fellowship of other believers. I would want all the information and help and encouragement that I could get from them. But Paul says, that's what I didn't do. Now, point number 5 in verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. For 3 years he went into those desert places. If his message was to be the same as that of the 12, a perpetuation, if you please, of theirs, shouldn't he have gone to them to learn all that he could from them? Ah, but this was not the case. He was not their understudy. He went into the deserts of Arabia to be alone with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom he had directly received his ministry and message. And he didn't see even one of the 12 apostles. until 3 years later. Let me read it to you. If you have your Bible or New Testament at hand, turn to it. It's Galatians 1, verses 18 to the end, or verses 18 to 20, I should say. Then, he said, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. Now, the other apostles, he said, of them I saw none, save James, the Lord's brother. Or I could read it perhaps more correctly this way. I didn't see one of the other 12. However, I did see James, the Lord's brother. Now, beloved, we should explain here that the reason this is written in this way is that James, the Lord's brother, was not one of the 12 apostles. He was an apostle only in a secondary sense. They evidently had highly regarded him as the brother of Christ himself after his conversion, but he was not one of the 12. For you'll remember, we read in John 7, neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't even believe in him until later. So the only one of the 12 Paul saw was Peter. Now this was after he had been converted for 3 years. He saw only one of the apostles, Peter, and he stayed with him for 15 days. Now not only could the Galatians easily check and verify this, but he speaks under oath. Now the things which I write unto you, he says in verse 20, behold, before God I lie not. He has been giving us all of these proofs, 5 evidences so far, that he did not get his message or ministry from man. Not even from the 12 apostles. For it was not until 3 years after his conversion that he saw only one. And as we're going to see later on, it was 17 years before he saw any of the rest. Now let's go on, verse 21. Afterwards, he said, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only, about him, that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now, why did he return to his native land? As he says here afterward, after seeing only Peter, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. That's, of course, where he was born, where he came from. Why did he go back there now? Why was he unknown by face to the churches of Judea? One would think that Peter would have taken this converted persecutor and showed him off, as it were, introduced him all over Judea to the believers there. But he didn't. Why not? Well, the fact is that Paul's visit with Peter was cut short both by God and man. In the 9th chapter of Acts, verses 19 and 20, I read these words. I beg your pardon. I should say the 9th chapter of Acts, verses 29 and 30. Here it says, and Paul spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. Now these were not Greeks. These were Grecianized Jews who lived outside of Palestine. It says, and he disputed against them, and they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him back to Tarsus. They said, this man isn't safe here. We had better send him back home again. Now this the brethren did, but God had a hand in it too. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, and the 17th verse, I read this, 17-21. It came to pass, he says, that when I had come again to Jerusalem, he's speaking about this first visit after his conversion, when I had come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Now that word, the Greek word used there, it should be explained, has nothing to do with some subjective vision. No, no. It has to do with an objective vision. He actually saw Christ. Listen. And I saw him, Christ, saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue those who believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death, and I held the raiment of those who slew him. And Christ said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. In other words, Paul wanted to begin like the 12 at Jerusalem, but God said, no, Paul, I've concluded them in unbelief. I know they will not listen to your testimony. So get out and go among the Gentiles. But Paul said, Lord, and he was going to give the Lord a little argument now. He says, Lord, they know that I was once on their side. They know I imprisoned, beat in every synagogue those who believed on me, and I helped to kill Stephen. But the Lord didn't argue with him. The Lord said summarily, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So God, as well as man, sent Paul away from Jerusalem, away from the Pentecostal influence there, away from the influence of the Messianic church there. Why? Why is this so important? Well, clearly to show that his ministry was to be separate and distinct from that of the 12 as God's apostle of grace for this present dispensation of grace. And we might learn that God has a special message for us today to be found in the epistles of Paul, the chief of sinners, saved by grace. Beloved, remember this. All the Bible is for us, but not all of it is written to us or about us. Ah, no. We can say this only about the epistles of Paul to the Gentiles, to the nations. Paul couldn't have stated it better than he did in 1 Timothy 1, verses 13-16. Now, please do listen carefully to these words. They are important, and they hit the target, as we might say. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus. I'm going to go back a verse where he speaks of the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, that he enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. Now listen. This is a faithful saying, one you can count on, one you can bank on, one you can act on and trust in. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, he didn't write that out of humility merely. He wrote it by divine inspiration. Not only is it the word of Paul to Timothy, it's the word of God to us, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save even Paul, the chief of sinners. Now, verse 16, he explains, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to those who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Ah, beloved, as he says in Romans 5:20, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I once thought, as many do today, perhaps you do, that one must keep the law, the Ten Commandments, and please God to be sure of heaven. I thought the law was given as a God's rule of life to help us to be good and gain heaven at last. But the Word of God tells us that it was given for the opposite purpose. It was given to show us that we are bad and need a Savior. Romans 3:19 says the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world might be brought in guilty before God. Now that's a very important fact. The passage we just quoted from in chapter 5 of Romans says that the law entered that the offense might abound. Romans 3:19, it was added because of transgression. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified. Friend, if you want to be saved from the just penalty of sin, remember this. There is one thing that God, the judge of all, expects from you. He expects you to stop saying things in your own defense. It's not sin that keeps men out of heaven. It's their attitude. God in his love has made provision for sin. He paid the penalty himself, but he's made no provision for a self-righteous attitude. Sometimes, you know, the defendant has to come to the place where his attorney says to him, it'll be to your advantage to plead guilty and throw yourself on the mercy of the court. And this is exactly our position. How can we talk about law-keeping when we're all guilty of law-breaking? Keep defending yourself and God will never save you. For he'll have no boasting in heaven, especially false boasting. But confess your guilt, throw yourself on the mercy of God, and he'll graciously forgive and justify you through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul exclaimed in Acts 13:38-39, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, we want you to be saved, but you'll find God's plan of salvation for today in the writings of God's apostles for today. The writings of the Apostle Paul. Well, you'll find parts of it in other parts of the Bible, but the message as such, the gospel of the grace of God, you'll find in the epistles of Paul, the apostle of grace.